as you know, we have about 50,000 TSA employees and about 40,000 Customs and Border Patrol folks. There was a great variation on who was allowed to use masks and gloves. The way it worked out was DHS actually refused to allow employees, TSA, transit security officers, from using masks, basically the N95 mask, which is recommended against swine flu and other airborne contaminants. They refused to allow them to use that. They had a very vague guideline that they put out there. On the other hand, the Customs and Border Patrol agents, the border agents, were allowed to use masks. So there's great inconsistency in the way different federal workers were allowed to protect themselves. And that was basically the reason for the hearing. But there was still, still a lot of resistance from the Department of Homeland Security in allowing our federal workers to protect themselves. The average security officer probably sees between 1,000 and 2,000 folks in a shift. Some of the busier ports of entry, you might have an officer who screens 3,000 to 9,000 in a shift. At New York, it's Chicago. So these folks, especially the ones primarily on the Mexican border in the three states, Texas, California, and Arizona, saw the highest rates of H1N1 infections. And I just think it was a terrible decision by someone to refuse to allow those folks to wear those respiratory masks. So if DHS is not willing to change their policy, then we've discussed it on the committee, both Democrat and Republican, and we'll have to change that legislatively to give the federal workers the ability to protect themselves.
Wow. Congressman Stephen Lynch joining us this morning, chairman of the House Oversight and Government Reform Subcommittee on the Federal Workforce.
Yeah, and I was wondering if perhaps the thinking of DHS with respect to the TSA workers in airports might have been that they've been trying to make this whole process of screening in airports less stressful. They've changed even uniform colors recently and are changing the lighting in some of the airports. Maybe they felt that having people wearing masks would just add to the tension and strangeness of the whole process of going through screening to get on a plane.
Well, I'm sure that was part of it. But when you balance the fact that these federal workers are going to be exposed, and then they're going to go back to their families and communities.
Or meet other passengers, for that matter.
Right, exactly. When you're screening 1,000 people, if you're not allowed to, for example, in this case, we had many workers who were not allowed to sanitize their hands, to use the Purell or whatever it is after they're screening these passengers. If you're screening a couple of 1,000 people, you don't want to be this 2,000th person that gets screened by that officer.
That's true, too, yeah.
He's been exposed. So the whole thing is not, it wasn't a good policy for the employees, and certainly not a good policy for the public. And we dodged the bullet because this version of this iteration of swine flu, was not as lethal as they had once feared. But they're saying in the fall, most of the scientists that we had up and most of the docs that we had up yesterday for the hearing said that, usually you'll see an echo. And in the second year, coming in October, November, you'd see a more severe strain of this virus. So we want to be prepared for that. And imagine if we use that policy and this more severe version of the flu, perhaps lethal to some, took out a lot of our federal screeners. Now what would we do? People would be definitely concerned about coming into work. I don't know how we would replace those folks. And it's not just the Border Patrol and just TSA folks. It's It's a wider swath of federal workers that would be affected, and government itself would have a difficult time responding. So we definitely have to come up with a better plan. Also getting the Tamiflu out there and whatever prophylaxis type method we have to sort of, you know, inoculate or protect workers from getting sick in the first place.
So, Congressman, how would you put in position a requirement for Homeland Security to act with, you know, at the same level for all of their agency? Would you have to create a regulation that they're able to use face masks if there's a certain level of disease concern, or how would you go about doing that?
Well, I would leave it to the individual officers. I think every circumstance is different. Look, these masks, they're not really heavy, but they're sort of like a dust mask, and they've got one added feature that allows them a greater level of protection. They look like a surgical mask. They're not really that comfortable to wear over a long shift. So unless an officer really thinks he needs it or she needs it, they're not going to wear it. But I think the best option is to allow those officers the discretion to use it when they think they need it under the circumstances that they find themselves. I think there is a concern, I think, in the airline industry, you know, the owners of the airlines, about, you know, causing alarm in the passenger population. But, you know, I'm in Asia and the Middle East quite a bit. Especially in Asia, you see folks wearing dust masks and surgical masks all the time. It's pretty normal there.
Yeah, it's more common. You're right.
And so do you think
there's no societal backlash when somebody sees somebody with a mask? It was the same thing when I first started flying internationally. Back in the 90s, it was unusual to see heavily armed guards in an airport in the United States. But when you traveled, Ben Gurion Airport in Israel or Charles de Gaulle Airport in Paris, they had interaction with terrorists. You had a lot of folks that were heavily armed. Well, it raised my concern, but now it's normalcy. So I think the same thing with these masks. I think if folks see how normal it is, they won't be alarmed. The other thing that was a little ironic Here's the situation. We had our folks in Laredo and Otay, which are the two big border crossings on the Mexican border. The DHS refused to allow our officers to wear masks. Now, meanwhile, our folks are looking across at their Mexican counterparts, the Mexican TSA employees, and they're all wearing masks. So, you know, it's a little infuriating for me. I'm supposed to have responsible for protecting my federal employees that they're in that situation. And, you know, the Mexican government has had the wisdom to allow their own employees to wear masks, but our folks were not. So I'm a little upset by that.
And we're talking with Congressman Stephen Lynch of Massachusetts 9th District. And after having sort of made your feelings known to the people that appeared before the hearing the other day, do you feel you'll have to go forward with your plan to possibly introduce legislation to force DHS to let people wear the masks, or is that just something you're holding in abeyance right now?
No, we're going forward. I had talked to the folks at NTEU, Treasury Union. They represent a lot of these folks. AFGE, they represent a lot of folks, and they feel that DHS did not correct the situation, the SARS epidemic, and now they've still refused, even in the midst of this problem. They don't think they're going to move, so we're going to go forward and change it legislatively. It's not my preferred way to do things, but they've had two strikes now, and I can't let the next, flu season begin with this current guideline in place. Now, you know, DHS can short circuit all of this by just doing it, or perhaps maybe by executive order, the president could do it.
And Secretary Napolitano, you mean, could just set a precedent from her position as the head of DHS?
Absolutely. It would be simple. And it would be uniform and it would be efficient. And it would save me from doing all this work, because now we're going to have to pull people together and get this done. So it'll be going on two tracks. We'll be doing our thing legislatively. If they can beat us to the punch and straighten the policy out through regulation with Secretary Napolitano or through executive ordered by the president, obviously they can get it done a lot faster with a lot less pain. So I would welcome that. And maybe when they see that, let you know, the House and the Senate are going to do this, they'll say, well, let's just preempt this and you know, correct our own situation.
Well, Congressman, we look forward to following this with you. We thank you so much for joining us today, and we'd like to follow up with you at some point in the future to find out how this turns out.
Sure, that'd be great.
And listen, one last quick one. Do you think Tim Wakefield is going to recover from that Angels debacle?
Holy cow. Well, Tim's a survivor. You know, he's like a lot of our federal employees. He hangs in there.